Well, folks, again, good morning. It's good to be back with you. And I want to thank you for the prayers that have been said. Please hold me up in prayer as we come to the Lord this morning. You know, it's so easy to be distracted when we're in the congregation and our own personal thoughts or whatever they may be. Sometimes they overwhelm us and we don't hear the words being spoken. And I pray that won't be the case today. I pray that you will do everything you can to immerse yourself into the scriptures that we'll be reading today. I guess if I have a title to this message, it's called For Such a Time as This. And this is somewhat of a repetitive issue, theme in the message I try to bring to you, because I feel it's important for every believer. We all have a purpose. Each and every one of us is God's children. We all make a difference in this world. Sometimes we don't allow our talents to be used to their full extent. We need to pray that we will subordinate ourselves to the will of God and that He will use us in any manner possible to do His good pleasure. Because after all, folks, we are His creation. And over the past two Sundays that we were preaching, we looked at some things that kind of illustrated that point. I guess it was three Sundays ago. We talked about the purpose in our hearts and tried to put our place in the actual position that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in when they were young teenagers brought into a foreign land. And there they had to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. Folks, I want to ask you one question as we get started. And actually, it's a question that Jesus asked in the Gospel of Luke. And I want you to think about this as we go through the message, because it's going to tie back in, I believe, to what we were studying in Daniel. At the end, in Luke 18, verse 8, Jesus had just given the parable of the persistent widow who's going before the judge and petitioning him over and over and over to give her justice. And so, and we talked about that several Sundays ago. But at the end of that parable, Jesus asked this question: Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Folks, that's where we are today. We don't know when the Son of Man, when Jesus is coming back, but the older I get, the more and more I think it's soon. I truly believe that. And I want to ask a question. Matter of fact, yesterday, Anz and I and Terry, Tracy, Mr. and Ms. Motes, we were blessed to go to my grandson's third birthday yesterday. We had a good time with the Dial family. And I was talking with Alan Dial, we talked to each other, who is also his grandfather. So they're strong believers. And so we were just talking, you know, if all we had was today, and we knew that at 8 o'clock tonight, our life would be required, how would you live this day differently than what you might normally have planned? Our priorities would probably change, wouldn't they? You know, folks, we just don't know. We don't know when our last breath may come. We don't know when the Lord Jesus is coming back. But we know that He is coming back because He said so over and over and over again. So until either of those days come, the day we draw our last breath or when the Lord Jesus comes, we should be living each day that we are blessed to have as if we are about to see Jesus. And I think we would be living differently, regardless of our circumstances. So, Jesus asks this question, will He really find faith when He comes back again? Now, that's a question we need to be asking ourselves. You see, when you think about your personal life, no matter where you are in your life, no matter where your circumstances are, have you, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, purposed in your heart to believe God's word and to live this day as if you were about to meet Him? Now, it's probably different for each and every one of us. But I want you to think on that from that perspective. And think about it, because in Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy and said that we know in Timothy 4:1 that the Spirit expressly says, and in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. This seems to substantiate the question that Jesus asked, will I really find faith when I come back? Or would we have drifted away? Now let me ask another question. How do you view the church? Any church? Do you feel like there has been a falling away in the churches of America today? I think most of us would probably, if you take a broad look at all the churches and the various organizations that fall under a church umbrella, we would say, yeah, there's been a change, there's been a shift. Something's not quite the way it used to be. So I do believe there's been some falling away. I pray that's not the case for any of us. But you know, our circumstances change too. The worldly influences is going to do everything it can to pull us away from Jesus Christ. But you know, we're not alone. Every believer has to struggle with that. And we can look to God's Word to find so many stories that substantiates this same position that I tried to describe. When in life is not easy, when things are difficult, and when it would be so easy to allow ourselves to be pulled in a worldly position rather than doing our best and purposing in our hearts to believe God, to love God, and to keep His commandments. Now, that as kind of a prelude, I want you to keep that in your mind. Will there be faith when Christ comes back? And how does it apply to your own life, being faithful in these sometimes struggling circumstances? Our main text today will be taken from the book of Daniel in chapter 6. And Merritt, I didn't wear my old car's tie, even though this is a classic old story. I usually do that because it's kind of fun for me. I like these old classic stories that we've heard about all our lives in the Bible. And so I just get a warm feeling when I think about these old classic cars, because I think the character of the people back in those days were probably a little better than now, and I just have the fondest memories. And it's similar to these old classic stories. I love these classic stories. But you know, we kind of gloss over the classic stories, don't we? We think of them more like childhood stories and not applying to our life. So now I want you to really sink deep into this story as we read chapter 6 in the book of Daniel. And just a little bit more of a precursor. Put yourself in Daniel's position. Daniel, when he was a teenager, he was taken from the land of Judah, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and thousands of other people. They were taken into captivity into what is now modern-day Iraq, into the Babylonian Empire. And they were given forced education, and they were going to be put into forced employment of some type, but all four of them distinguished themselves because of the intellect and the blessings that God gave them, primarily because they purposed in their hearts at the very beginning, even when they were teenagers, not to do certain things that they felt would defile them. They were faithful to God, and God blessed them in the midst of these hard circumstances. Daniel, too, was blessed. He was given the blessings of extreme understanding and intellect and the ability to interpret dreams. So now here we are in chapter 6. And King Nebuchadnezzar has died. His son Belteshazzar has died. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have already been through the fiery furnace. Daniel has already interpreted a couple of dreams. And now there's a new ruler in the kingdom, in the Babylonian. You see, the Babylonian Empire has now been conquered by the Persians, modern-day Iranian people, the Medes and the Persians. The primary ruler being Cyrus the Great, and the, you might want to say like the vice president or co-ruler at the time, is Darius the Great. So let's put that into a little bit more modern day perspective. Let's go back to the colonies when America was being formed. You know, the French and the British, they came and sometimes captured people and brought them back to Europe. So let's say that the French came in and captured us and brought us back to France. And there we were, having to serve in the French Empire to whatever capacity that's forced upon us. And then suddenly Germany invades France. And now we're having to serve the Germans. Well, that's in a way an analogy of what Daniel's having to do. Because now there's a new empire. The Persians have captured and overthrown the Babylonian Empire. So everything is different. And that's where our story starts up. Well, so let's read together, and we're going to stop and make a couple comments as we go along through chapter 6 of Daniel today. It pleased Darius, and him being the ruler, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor is there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Now let's stop there for just a moment. Can you imagine the circumstances that Daniel's in? He's distinguished himself out of his gifted and skillful ability to be a wise governor. Things are prospering under his hands. He, along with two other governors, are basically ruling the kingdom for King Darius. But yet these other two governors are envious of him. They're jealous of him. And they have a hatred towards him. And they're going to do everything they can to try to find fault with him so that they can bring some charge against him. They don't like him because he was came in from the ex when Judah with the other captives. They're being deceptive and they're plotting against them. You know, folks, it sounds, I hate to say this, but it sounds a whole lot like politicians today, doesn't it? How sad, how sad, how sad. But we see it in our own government. The infighting. You know, what an opportunity for these other governors to have learned from Daniel. You know, when you see somebody that is so good at what they do, why should you be jealous? Why should you be envious? Why should you try to find fault and tear them down rather than to learn from their example? None of us knows it all. But they were consumed with greed and envy. And rather than emulate Daniel's example, they plotted to find fault with him, to tear him down. Now, in contrast, put yourself in Daniel's place. In spite of being forced to serve now under a second, really a third government, a third ruler, not being in his native country, having all these people around him that don't like him, but he's doing what is he is obligated to do to the best of his ability. He is a man of integrity, and no fault can be found in him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had politicians like that, who put integrity, who put right over wrong, and before politics? How much better would our country be? How much better would the whole world be if men and women today tried to emulate and live the example that we find in Daniel? And the integrity and the faithfulness to God that Daniel had. All right, now let's continue on with the story. And again, I mean, you learn from this story. Think about our own society. Well, put yourself in Daniel's place. Because now we know that he has a minimum of two enemies. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now let's stop for just a moment. King Darius is being approached by these two main governors, but they're selling the story that all the governors, all the satraps, everybody in the kingdom, to exalt you, King Darius, we want you to sign this decree that we will worship you. So they're flattering the king, but we know they have ulterior motives. Yet King Darius gives in to their petition. He lets flattery and pride overtake his humility that we all should have. Nobody should ever allow anybody else to elevate them to such a degree that they are a demigod in somebody else's eyes, to be worshipped. No king should have ever allowed that. But that's what these people are saying to King Darius. And King Darius gives in to their demand. So he agreed to sign the written statute that they had placed before him. But there were unexpected consequences that he didn't perceive at the time. So let's keep reading. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now, folks, I just want to stop and insert right here. They're saying that was his custom since his early days. Through this now being the third ruler, he's always worshipped God. In spite of being in a hostile foreign land, it has not diminished his adoration and love for God. And he has continued to worship him. You see, you would say that he purposed in his heart to be faithful, regardless of his circumstances or the society around him. So now I ask that same question again. Will Jesus find faith when he comes again? Regardless of the circumstances we are in, regardless of those who may be hostile to us, regardless of our culture, regardless of anything, will the Lord find faith when he comes again? Daniel, as was his custom since his early days, in spite of this decree, continued to pray. I pray that we could be as faithful as Daniel if we were in those circumstances. And you know, folks, everything changes. You never know. We may think it couldn't happen in this country, but it's happening in other countries. Changes could always come. So let's continue on. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard to you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petitions three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So just for a moment, folks, the king has figured it out. He's been ensnared by his own big ego. He's fallen victim to this flattery and subterfuge, and now he's in a predicament and a mess because it has ensnared somebody that King Darius likes, who is Daniel. But by his own decree, there's not much, if anything, that can be done by it. And he's not happy about it. So it says that he worked all day trying to find a way out, a loophole. But there wasn't any. So now he has to follow his own decree. That's what is meant by it cannot be altered. So let's continue reading, verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, and these are important words, think about them, saying, Daniel, your God whom you serve continually will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel may not be changed. Now let's think on this for just a moment. I want to talk about a lion's den for just a moment. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, that never happened. But folks, history is filled with proof that it did happen. There were lion dens, and they were pits. And if you think about a zoo where they keep lions when they're not in cages and tigers or any of the large cats, they have very high walls because lions and tigers and leopards can easily leap up to 18, 20 feet. So the lion's den had walls that were a minimum of 20 feet high. And the lions were let in through an entrance, an opening, like the doorway. That's how they entered the lion's den. The prisoner was either thrown over the wall or was let down in a net. And that's how they were cast into the lion's den. So when it says here that the king, they laid a stone on the mouth of the den, that's where the doorway would have been to go into the actual pit. So they rolled a stone there, which would have prevented the lions from escaping. And they sealed it with the wax. With wax, and the king put his own signet ring in it along with other people in his court so that nobody could come and save Daniel. He was stuck in there in the lion's den. And it says then he was cast in the lion's den. I'm assuming that he was probably lower down in a net because at this time in his life he was at least a later middle-aged, if not beginning to be an older man, and he probably would not have survived a 20-foot fall. But he's cast into the lion's den. But Darius' words, go back to that for just a moment. He said to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Darius obviously cared for Daniel. He recognized Daniel as a special person. And he didn't worship the same God that Daniel did. But he knew that Daniel was a devout man. And I see two things here. That yes, God is willing to deliver Daniel. I see a recognition of and a spark of faith in Darius. Because of the example that Daniel had always given. But also these are words to encourage Daniel. Have faith. Do not give up in these hard circumstances. Daniel is in a circumstance where he will need a miracle. But you know, we worship, we serve, and we believe in a God of miracles. And let's keep reading. Well, and I do want to say this. As we go through the rest of this, this is a very difficult situation. Beyond really our ability to think about. But life was hard back then. Execution methods were beyond our modern day ability to conceive. They were terrible. They were brutal. And this is the spot that Daniel's in. So we see a difficult situation. We're going to see a miracle. And we're going to see two different outcomes. And the effect is going to be on many, many people. And so as we stop right there, I made this comment early on. And you think about yourself in this situation. You think about Daniel. And you think about Darius. The actions that they were both compelled to take. Darius, by making a mistake, but having to follow the law that he himself is now responsible for. That was placed upon his shoulders. Daniel, by no fault of his own, by the trickery and deceit and conniving of jealous people that hated him. Now he's been ensnared and falsely accused and charged. And he's brought to his own execution. You know, folks, I've said it at the beginning. We all have a purpose in life. Sometimes we are thrust into these situations for such a time as this. And we can find another situation that happened over in the book of Esther. And I just want to read that quick passage right here. Because Mordecai is talking to Esther at this time, and I think most of us remember the story. But the Jews were about to be killed. And Esther is in the house of the king, and Mordecai tells her, if you keep quiet at this time like this, if you keep quiet at a time like this, and folks, put yourself in your life or whatever it may be, think about our own society, your voice matters. At a time like this, are we keeping our faith quiet, or are we wearing our faith openly for other people to see? What kind of influence are you having on somebody else? If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Folks, we all have a purpose. We all find ourselves sometimes in a circumstance that we may have been made just for those circumstances. We don't know when that moment may come, but I believe it comes to every believer. There is a moment in our life where we are required to stand faithful for God's word and to be a liaison, a ambassador for Christ at the moment given to us. So, will God find faith when he comes back to the earth? Or we allow ourselves to wither away because of lack of faith, because of hard circumstances. Others are always watching. Now let's see what we, when we look and put ourselves in the story, what we learn by watching Daniel and Darius. So Daniel has been sealed in the lion's den. Stop for a minute. I can't help it. I just want to interject something else here. Angela will laugh at me. This is the difference between men and women. Men like interesting facts about animals and nature and stuff. A lot of women don't care so much about it. It's the details that they find frivolous, and they have things that men think those details don't matter too. We're different, so don't ever believe that men and women are the same. God made us different. But Asiatic lions are not quite as big as African lions. The average male Asiatic lion is about 350. Sometimes the large one's 400 pounds. An African lion, the average size is over 400 pounds, and sometimes they exceed 500 pounds. So the African lion is bigger, a little slower. The Asiatic lions went from Israel, Syria, Lebanon, all over modern-day Europe and into Asia. You see all the old crest of the European countries, and they show these lions. Well, they were lions back then. They were in Israel too. Samson killed a lion. These were the Asiatic lions that are still in existence today, but they're almost extinct. But the lions were more savage, and they were easier to capture because they were slightly smaller. These are the lions that Daniel is facing. Now the king, after he sealed Daniel in the lion's den, starting verse 18. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. And no musicians were brought before him. And his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he had came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? He's hopeful in this, a lamenting voice. He didn't want to see Daniel killed. He was wanting this miracle to happen so badly. And he cried out to him. And he got a response. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now, folks, this takes an act of faith on you. The world will dismiss this story, saying that there's no way possible when you take aggressive lions that have been purposely starved for an execution that they would not have attacked him. But I believe in angels. I believe in a God who's capable of anything and everything and all things. And I believe the written word of God. That God sent his angel and he protected Daniel. And they didn't try to molest him or harm him in any way. And he said, I was innocent before God and before the king. You see, sometimes we're innocent. False accusations come against us. What is purposed in our hearts as God's believers? See, that's what the question was over the past two Sundays. Then when we were preaching, we learned from what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego purposed in their hearts to serve God faithfully, even in these bad circumstances. Last time we spoke over Zoom, we saw the Pharisees that were attacking Jesus over good works, the purpose and ill intent in their hearts. You see, there is a difference between us. If we are living as if today is our last day, what is the purpose in our hearts? Isn't it to live righteously before the Lord? To believe every word, every promise? What do we purpose in our hearts on a daily basis? Daniel was innocent before God and faith because of his faithfulness to God through faith. And he had done no wrong to Darius. Now let's continue on, because I told you that there were going to be some events that would unfold, some repercussions from this. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the lion's den. See the terminology. They're raising him up again in this net. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command. And they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. What a difference if we stop right here. What a difference. You see the harshness of executions back in that particular time on earth. The whole family was condemned because of their sinful ways, their false accusations they had made against Daniel. And letting them down in the net into the lion's den, the lions were so hungry that they pounced upon the victims in the net and said their bones were broken before they ever reached the floor. Yet those same lions did not hurt Daniel in any way. Now, we see a difference. We see the protection that God gave. Folks, I believe that we are protected every day of our life in some form, and we just never even see it. But God holds us in his hands. Purpose in your heart to thank God, even in difficult times. You know, I'm not going to go back up to it, but what did it say after the decree was signed? Daniel went back to his room, and he prayed, and he gave thanks. Regardless of our circumstances, the Bible is clear. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we have a reason to be thankful. We may face difficult circumstances. But those difficult circumstances, I'm going to repeat myself, you may have been made for such a time as this, for those difficult circumstances. Now let's see what happens. You see, you never know what our testimony is going to, what the repercussions, what the developments from our testimony, from our standing firm may cause. Then King Darius wrote, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the powers of the lions? Folks, here is the ruler of the most powerful empire on earth at the moment, making this decree, praising God. Look at the attributes that he just assigned to God. That could come from the prophet Isaiah. And he's making another decree to all of his kingdom. Because of the faith that Daniel had and the miracle that he saw, don't we have the same ability to affect people? If we stand strong in our faith, other people will see it. Who knows what miracle can occur because of our faithfulness to God? You just might be have put on this earth for a reason. And we all have this one reason in common: to praise God, to be faithful even in difficult circumstances, so that others can gather strength from our steadfast courage and faith in difficult times, and just like Darius, turn to God and praise him. And folks, I believe those miracles happen every day. Do we, number one, have the faith to believe that it was a miracle to begin with? And do we have the courage that Daniel had to stand in the face of the lions? I pray that we will. Verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and then in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You know, Daniel his whole life lived in a foreign land. He never went back to Israel, to Judah. Never. But through his living, his life, the example, his faithfulness, he had a staggering effect on three kings: Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. It's really four. He had effect on all of them, and also on the Jews that were in captivity with them. You never know how much of an effect your faith may have on somebody else. But folks, I believe it's very, very far-reaching. We may never have the difficult times that Daniel encountered. Doesn't mean that we don't have our own hard circumstances when people see us and how we endure through the trial. And will our faith stay strong? I pray that we can be as strong as Daniel. Because you see, this is our time. We were put here on this earth for such a time as this. Yes, we are in a time of there seems to be a falling away. It's a time when church membership is declining. It's a time where it appears to be that all of society doesn't put God first. So we are here. Are we here to be quiet? To make no difference? No. We are here just like Daniel in what is becoming a more and more pagan society to be faithful to God, to express our faith, to share it with others, even when we face hard circumstances. We were put here for such a time as this. Now, folks, it's a personal thing now as we close. How faithful are we to God? Are we thankful like Daniel was? Do we have when I say faithful like Daniel was, to give thankful, are we thankful like he was? Even in the hard circumstances, he was faithful. See, thankfulness and faithfulness go hand in hand. Are we like Daniel? Have we purposed in our hearts to worship God, regardless of the circumstances around us? Folks, that's what we learned from Daniel. He had a hard time. We have an easy time when we compare them. But just like Daniel, we can have an effect on others. And I want to ask you this now in closing. Thanksgiving's coming. When you stop and you look at your life and answer that question that I asked at the beginning, what if today was the last day? How thankful would you be? If we are giving from today to Thanksgiving, will you express that with all your heart and soul when Thanksgiving rolls around? And if you're not, if you've allowed circumstances to cloud your perspective, I want to ask a question, because we'll go into this starting next Sunday. Who are you following? May God add his blessings is my prayer. Brother Mark.